Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
I am an autonomous government agent here to steal your livelihood.
Not so fast. I'm Sovereign Filing Solutions.
And I'm the Sovereign. We're teamed up.
To bring you...
the truth without censorship.
Are you tired of being fed multi-million-dollar media lies?
Are you ready for the real story?
Sovereign Filing Solutions has teamed up with the Sovereign newspaper to make sure you get it.
And not the BS this guy behind me wants to feed you.
Take the step, help make the change.
Oh, come on, that's not even fair. How are we supposed to rule indiscriminately if you know what's going on?
Play on, play it. Play on, play it. Your drink drops reverse.
I like the way you grow it, no pesticides. I got to box it up.
Box it up, yeah.
I like the way you grow it, so locally. I got to box it up. I like the way you grow it, with no GMOs. I like the way you twerk it,
no diggity,
no doubt.
We've got squash and peas, calling it a pack for all your bees. Melons you wanna squeeze. Yes, please. Yes, please.
Hey, now that plant looks good. I want to grow it. I want to taste it.
Search YouTube for Freaks of the Garden. PeacefulBelly.com. Support your local organic farmer.
U.S. trade negotiators are pushing to complete the TPP this year, and they're trying to keep it under the radar. The best way to stop the TPP is to drag it into the light of day. Right now, negotiators have appointed approximately 600 corporate lobbyists to serve as cleared advisors on the TPP, while refusing to release any of their negotiating proposals for public review. The corporate media is unlikely to inform the public about the TPP. We need to do it ourselves.
Welcome to Barefoot is Legal Radio. We're going to have a guest today. Looking forward to that. And some proof will be joining us as well. So I'd like to get started here with a few things in the news. In the news this week, all over the news this morning when I turned on TV, it was woman takes off shoes, gives them to a barefoot homeless person. And it's like on every single Fox, ABC, New York Daily, News One, about this inspiring thing. And maybe the lady truly was in a destitute situation and needed him, but it always really, you know, gets me when they just going barefoot with such a destitute position. In the same news articles, there's two of them out here. Says walking barefoot helps to avoid foot injuries. So that's another one that's out there. Also improves posture, balance, and stability. In addition to that, we have another one out here that is activities can improve balance and posture. So in the news feed, you have activities can improve balance, posture, and prevent common injuries. So here we have two articles out there, but the one that's getting the biggest attention, of course, is the one about the homeless woman and the act of kindness this lady did. And don't get me wrong, I know she meant well, and maybe the lady truly did have a need. It was super cold or something, but it just puts it in the light, in a negative light, of course, for people that are just going barefoot. I'm sure if somebody sees somebody barefoot now and they're going to be running away, want to give them shoes or something. So, going on there. Back to the articles. Let me go back there. Enough with the subway one. I'm sure you can see plenty of that on the news. But here we have from Medical Daily. Walking barefoot helps you avoid foot injuries, also improves posture, balance, and stability. And this came out on November 18th by Samantha Olson. Goes on to read, kick off your shoes, and we'll change the screen on you in a second here. That's nice. All right. Goes on to say, kick off your shoes and walk around. Don't you love it? The screen bounces up and down. Kick off your shoes and walk around barefooted to experience some of the underappreciated benefits of stronger feet. Also part of their ongoing research, experts from Ithaca College School of Health Sciences performance recently highlighted the important role to the often overlooked muscles in the feet play in improving stability, balance, posture, and prevent common injuries similar to the abdomen. If you say core stability, in quotes, everyone sucks in the belly button, said Patrick McKeon, a professor at the Department of Exercise and Sports Sciences at Ithaca College. In a press release, instead, McKellen wants people to shift their attention to their foot core by investigating time and working on their feet as much as their core muscles in their abdomen. Our feet work on a feedback cycle, McKellen says. From the large muscles in our feet and legs to the small muscles in the feet, sends messages to the brain about the environment. When these messages get disrupted, injuries arise as other muscle groups try to compensate for the miscommunications. Shoes typically set off these problems, as walking, running, dancing, cycling, or skipping force these muscles to absorb the body's impact. If the foot's small muscles miscommunicate or fail to send information to the brain, the large muscles end up compensating. They overexert themselves, which ultimately leads to injury. When you put a big sole underneath your feet, you put a big dampening effect on information. So they're saying if you put, you know, a shoe underneath your foot, you're dampening that information. McKee said there's a missing link that connects the body with the environment. Some shoes are, very good, of course, you're going to say that, from the standpoint of providing support, but the consequences of that support, okay, here we go, that's good. The consequences of that support about losing information from the foot. This is what we see the effects of when it comes to overuse injury. Overuse injuries are a problem for athletes in particular, and in recent studies published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine demonstrated the importance of using the small stabilizing muscles in the foot, known as local stabilizers. Though they're only moved ever so slightly within the feet, they are constantly active as they are responsible for keeping the entire body stable. If just one of our four distinct layers of muscles along the bottom of the foot fails to support the arch, the endurance athlete is like a runner with typically developed plantar fasciitis, a painful and frustrating injury. Been there, done that, and that's one of the reasons I go barefoot so much. So I will make sure we post these articles over on the chat room. Practicing exercises such as foot doming or short foot maneuvers can also increase the strength. It goes on to pretty much say, though, the best thing to do is just go barefoot. The more people can go barefoot, such as at home or office, it is really a good thing. So there's an article. I'm sure it won't be on every single news network. To me, is probably extremely important that it would get out there to everyone. Next up, we have, let's see, pull this next one up. Improve balance and posture, prevent common injuries. This is from News Medical Life Sciences and Medicine, published on November 18th, 2015. I don't see the author right offhand. As cold weather footwear makes the seasonal vacation from the back of your closet to replace summer flip-flops and bare feet. Don't underestimate the benefits of padding around naked feet from the ankles down. Barefoot activities can greatly improve balance. Common injuries like skin shin splints, plantar fasciitis, stress fractures, bursitis, tendonitis, this article is similar to the other one. We might be getting some of the same research. It's just written a little differently, but pretty much here's another article, and we'll post it, that talks about the benefits of going barefoot. And I've often said, over and over again, I've said, there's so much information available these days to the benefits of going barefoot, but yet, as a good example, we have this article that comes out about giving shoes to some badly they're going to need them. And again, I always, play a little bit of the devil's advocate there. There might be a true need there that was there. It might be somebody that wanted to be barefoot and was just ashamed to say it, so they said, okay, I'll take a while though. But either way, from watching some of these this morning, it purely pointed to the stigma in the society that, somebody just can't go barefoot. That's just something we can't have. And what a wonderful thing to make sure we approach something like that and get shoes on our feet. So, and, on the flip side, you can, on any given day, pull up article after article on the benefits of going barefoot. But you sure don't see those in the news. I would love to see that as part of these stories. They must have access to that information. I'm sure they're scanning the news articles every day. So that would be a wonderful thing. get out there and at least show the benefits of someone going barefoot. I, for one, have pretty much gotten past the stigma. It used to bother me if I was out in public what somebody might think of, you know, was I destitute and homeless or couldn't afford shoes, which is the farthest thing from the truth. But I've gotten well past that. And it's a real good feeling once you're past it. It's something where you just have to really keep working at it and get yourself to a mindset where you know you're not doing anything wrong. And that's really a big, to me, a big life-changing experience, not just about going barefoot, but about challenging a commonly accepted belief in society, even when there's overwhelming support, overwhelming evidence that supports what you're doing is really a good thing. It's really helping your health out tremendously, and it's not hurting anyone else. Since I've been going barefoot quite a bit more often this year than probably ever before, to me, amazing how much better I feel all the way around. I mean, before it was kind of like a hit or miss thing over the years, and it's only been the last few years where it's been pretty steady, but this year has been very rarely do I have shoes on. As an example, as I think I mentioned last week, I'm painting, which I did when I was younger, so it's for our volunteer group, I'm painting a van. We have a transport animals from high kill shelters, and I put shoes on to paint. I put them on to weld, but other than that, I spent the whole time. The only thing I did notice is I usually don't have any problems with heel cracks. It's really something that's typically not a problem for me, and I think that's because you know, when you do walk, you're actually cleaning and softening your feet as you walk. But since I'm working in very dry conditions with the dust from the sanding, I think been causing that a little. So it's been okay though. What I've done is I have this little lava rock, and just like a big, used for sanding pretty much for your skin. I mean, it really cleans off dead scale, and that's helped tremendously. Also amazes me is there's certain parts of your body that heal faster than others. Your eyes is one of the fastest healing parts of your body. But the feet are right up there. They heal amazingly quickly. And I think this is, you know, based on how we evolved, you know, it's something where you had to have a foot injury heal quickly to continue moving and continue hunting and gathering and doing the necessary things you needed to do to survive. But with those heel cracks, and they're starting to slightly hurt, within just, you know, a day or two of using the lava rock on them and sanding them smooth and getting the excess skin off of there, the pain went completely away. The cracked area healed, and good as new. So it's to how, you know, our bodies can heal themselves and know certain areas of the body that have to heal quicker than others. And the feet are one of them. And again, like I said, I know the eyes are another one that are there as well. This time I'd like to also ask anyone to call in. We have our guest call-in line at 347-324-3704. Again, that's 347-324-3704. We'd love to hear from you. Last week we had a couple call-ins. It definitely makes for a more interesting show than me just going on with my ramblings of my experiences. I hope there's something that are helpful for people, but I'd also love to get and their experiences. So please feel free to call in. Love to hear from you. So as I was mentioning before, I'm painting this van for our pet rescue group. And again, I'm doing it completely barefoot except for when I actually spray. And the reason for that is when you're spraying a clear coat, it's I actually have a spray booth at home, so I'm set up for this. But it's still, the floor gets rather sticky because it's a very sticky material. So that's just something I don't want to walk around on. So that's one of the few times I use a shoe as a tool, which is how I think they should be used. You know, they are tools to be used when you need to, and really should be only used when you need to, no other time. Again, welding is the other time, for obvious reasons. It just makes sense to do that. I can say I've been guilty in the past of doing it without them and just trying to be very careful, but probably not my best decision there. So, but other than that, when I'm sanding, when I'm just doing general mechanical work or taking something apart or fixing the body work or whatever it may be, it's very comfortable to just stay barefoot the whole time. And other than the slight problem with the heel cracks, which I've solved, really hasn't been a problem. I'm going to actually be right after the show spraying this van, so apologize if I keep coming back to that, but like if my mind's sort of on it, I'll probably be trying to sneak out of here again early, which I hate to do, but lately this time slot has really been a challenge for me. Got to work on that. But one of the challenges I'm running into is it's much better to paint in a warmer weather, and here in Florida we have about 75 degree high today in Jacksonville, and that'll be for about 3 o'clock Eastern till about 4 or 5, very small window, and it'll start cooling off rapidly. And I'm really a little anxious about sneak out early. That's my reasoning, and I apologize for that, but I really do need to get that done before the weather becomes my worst enemy. Not looking forward to putting shoes on to paint it, but it's a necessary evil right now. Haven't been out in public too much because of working on this. I'm going to a few different restaurants that we frequent, and still not having any problems. And I wear my flip-tops, which are look like a flip-flop on the top, but nothing on the bottom. And for whatever reason, that seems to work. It doesn't, I'm not hassled about it. And I know there can be debate about that, and that's fine, but for me it works, and I'll continue. And I would never have had the opportunity to go to as many places as frequently as I have. I really believe if I hadn't taken this route and used the flip-tops. And again, as I've mentioned before, it's not so much that they'll never notice, but by the time they notice, they've usually gotten to know me. And by then, it's just more of a curiosity. And to me, that's the best part of it. And I can give them information. I can provide them different links and show them the benefits. And it's usually received very positively. I think the knee-jerk reaction I get if they just see you're barefoot and the way society is geared towards that, a different part of their brain operates and truly goes on the defensive, unfortunately. You know, hopefully our world will change at some point pretty soon, because it really doesn't make any sense. Again, I go back to those articles. There's just a couple new ones every week. You can find new articles by new groups showing the benefits. And this one's talking about the communication between the brain and the feet. And I think that's what's overlooked so often. Why do we have so many sensory receptors in our feet, more than any other part of our body, if we're just going to close them up in shoes? It just doesn't make sense to do that. So we're here. And again, love to know if someone's out there, so please feel free to call in. Let's discuss, you know, let's discuss what your thoughts are on it. Definitely would like to have some communication with other people that are trying to or thinking about it, or for whatever reason, pro or con, want to discuss the subject. So again, it's 347-324-3704. To this article, the woman takes off shoes, gives to the homeless person. Again, what blows me away about that is it's literally went viral, and it's on every network. Why wouldn't it go viral and be on every network that walking barefoot helps to avoid foot injuries and also improves posture, balance, and stability? Why wouldn't that be something that went viral and is on every network? And again, it's not just a unique article. They're out there all the time. There's more and more evidence to support. And I've noticed myself, the more I go barefoot, the stronger my feet feel, the stronger my casts are, the more defined, and I'm by no means somebody in perfect physical condition. I'm not out of shape. I've actually got myself into a lot better shape than I used to be, but at the same time, I think going barefoot is, I can look at my feet as somebody that's 53 years old, 25-year-old, I believe. I've seen some people with feet my age, and they can be rather not pleasant to look at, and that's unfortunate because they've been closed up and locked away for so many years. Just imagine what your hands would look like. They never saw the light of day, which is virtually what happens with feet often. But mine is actually in really good condition. I feel good. My body feels good. I usually don't have any back pain. I've had some this week, but it's more of a muscle pain. I think from using muscles I haven't used in a long time working. I've been literally putting in 12 to 14 hour minimum days on this thing. So day after day of that, I think puts a little bit of strain on the muscles. I know you're supposed to alternate how you use your muscles, and I've been using them the same way day after day after day. So they're not really getting a chance to rest and recover. But other than that, I really never have. And that pain is usually only in the evenings or something when I come in, or when I first wake up, I can feel it a little bit while I'm working on this. But then as I start to work again, it works itself out. I feel pretty good right now, actually. And but I hear people all the time complaining about, you know, leg pain and back pain and feet pain. I truly, with the exception of having it now from overexerting muscles, I can definitely tell it's a muscle pain. I don't have those type of pains. Well, you know, when you're barefoot, you're completely balanced. You have 50-50 weight distribution. You're walking the way you're meant to be. The biomechanics of your body are working in unison, working the way they're designed to. So I truly believe that has a lot to do with it. And I know when I was younger, I had plantar fasciitis, as I mentioned before, and that's a real horrible feeling. Get out of a chair, I'd be looking, what do I have to grab onto to get up? You know, what's going to hold me because of the excruciating pain? But I no longer have that now that I have a barefoot lifestyle. I'm going to go ahead and go to our first break. Hopefully by the time we get back, we'll have either one of our guests we're expecting or someone will call in. So again, please feel free to call in at 347-324-3704. And we'll be right back in just a couple minutes.
Did you see this? The EPA wants to regulate water in our ditches now. Our ditches are dry most of the time. There's hardly ever any water in them. That's enough.
All right, and we're back live, and we have Proof with us. How are you doing today, Proof?
Hey, John, I'm adequate here. What about you?
Doing well. Been ridiculously busy lately getting this, working on this van I'm restoring for the animal rescue group I'm part of.
Okay.
I'm actually going to be painting it later today. And earlier I was mentioning to the audience about how the only time I do wear shoes when I'm working on it is when I'm doing the actual painting or if I'm welding.
Yeah.
And that's only due to with the automotive paint. It's rather sticky when you spray the clears.
Hey, I've taken a few of the Barefoot as Legal calls today, and one was asking me about going into the woods. Would it be safe because of ticks and things like that? So I figured that would be a good topic to discuss, if that's okay.
Sure, go right ahead.
Well, my perception on this is if you have on, say, Birkenstocks or you have on shoes, you have that false sense of security that no tick is going to bother me because, hey, I have socks on. But if you have direct contact with the ground, you will be checking yourself on a semi-regular basis. And not only that, but if you use essential oils like lemongrass, for example, lemongrass oil, bugs despise lemongrass. They also don't like mint or cinnamon very much. If you put a couple drops on you, a couple on your face, a couple on your arms, and a couple on your feet, the bugs are going to think that you're so full of cinnamon and lemongrass and mint that I don't want any part of this person.
There's actually also some other things that Sierra and I discussed in a previous show a while back, an article about that the foot odor that's developed inside of shoes actually attracts bugs of all kinds.
Of course.
So, you know, that, you know, of course, being open in the air, you're not going to have that. So you're actually at a better, you have a better chance of not attracting them as well, just by not having shoes on.
Mm-hmm. Right, and it's funny that everybody focuses on, well, you have to have your clothes, shoes, and your socks, but you can have on shorts and a no hat and a short sleeve tank top, or a short sleeve shirt or a tank top, and people think they're protected.
Right,
like bugs
right.
don't come off trees or anything.
Yeah, and it goes back to the you know, the unfortunate false myths and beliefs that we've been taught as we grow up, and shoes are something that are pretty much pushed upon us as a necessity. Just as that article, pretty much, you know, of the lady that gave the homeless woman the shoes, and you know, oh how wonderful that was, and how much people need shoes, and you know that
mm-hmm.
every channel we went on, that was what they're discussing. But then, as I mentioned, there's plenty of articles out there and by medical groups discussing about how you really shouldn't wear them and how much damage they cause, and that the communication between your feet and your brain, how important that is to your muscles, to your, you know, to determining
mm-hmm.
how you use your body. But unfortunately, you know, even you would think that a news group would be more objective about it, but that the same old beliefs just get thrown out there. And I get the other side of it. It's supposed to be the Good Samaritan thing on it, but it seems like, you know, the fact that it had to do with shoes makes it like this person was, you know.
Yeah, it's not like she gave the lady the coat
need.
Off her back.
Yeah. Or
the money,
you know,
out of her wallet, for that matter.
Right, or water to somebody that was,
mm-hmm.
you know, completely parched or whatever. But, it's truly looked at as a need. It's something that if you're out in public, it's viewed as a, you need to have this. And, you know, again, I believe in them as tools. And if you're out in public and it's a tool that's needed based on severe weather or too hot, too cold or whatever it may be, or, you know, as I mentioned, when I'm welding or painting in automotive painting and house painting, of course, never wear them. And I believe we discussed that before, you wouldn't either. But,
yeah.
You know,
well, yeah, it would be stupid to think that you're a policeman and you're going to run out as a policeman without shoes on. That I get.
Who knows? Maybe you'd have a better chance of catching someone once you got.
No,
but
I'm
yeah,
just saying that it makes more sense as a fireman or a policeman or someone in the military. I guess you wouldn't expect that, but
yeah,
for those
of
us minions, there really isn't much need for them.
No, it's. Yeah, it's a tool that they need for the occupation that they're in, and probably not all the time either. But again, it does make sense to a certain degree there. But
yeah, I just don't think necessity for wearing shoes is sitting in an office where nobody walks in and you're doing data entry for a living at the keyboard.
Yeah, I would love to have. If there was, there's no way I'm sure to ever gain it, but what the statistic would be of how many hours companies have spent discussing shoes and dress code issues. And I have, over the years in management, sat in so many laborious meetings, you know, with people drooling about lengths of skirts and shoes and every other stupid thing. I'm sorry.
Hey, go ahead. That's part of what we do.
Yeah, it always used to amaze me, you know. And it's funny, and I'm sure it's breaking every rule in the book, but when I went in on a Saturday, it would be volunteerism to have our people come in, and my group would tend to want to come in more than others because they knew on Saturday I didn't wear shoes, and they didn't have to either. So...
See, and this was before Facebook, so if it was after Facebook, then you would invite them to our Barefoot is Legal group, where now you're like, man, I wish I can get a hold of those people.
Yeah, yeah. But it is, but I mean, they were more apt to come in because they were,
yeah,
you know, it was a Saturday.
Yeah, who wants to come in on their day off and either have to worry about getting dressed up or getting sent home because they didn't get dressed up enough on a day that you're volunteering to come in?
Yeah, and I see that in society in general. It's like, who wants to go out to a store in public when somebody can just order something online because they're sitting at home barefoot and comfortable? And here they got to, you know, put on shoes, or they are perceived to have to go shopping or go into a store. I would think if you were a brick-and-mortar place, there would be a definite advantage to trying to promote that you actually would allow people in barefoot.
Well, the thing is that we haven't gotten to that point in a while. I don't know how often a store would see somebody of our ilk, maybe one a month.
Well, that's the thing. They're not seeing it, but how many people are they not seeing because they're don't want the hassle? I mean, a lot of people working from home now, or people that are homeschooled, you know, or whatever it may be. I've heard so many people talk more and more that they drive barefoot.
Yeah.
So if you ever notice, you go to any fast food restaurant and the drive-through lines are always busy, but the actual dining area is usually dead anymore. At least that's been my experience around here.
Yeah.
So, you know, how many of these people might just go in and relax and sit down and have something and possibly buy more if they didn't have to, you know, suffocate their feet and sit uncomfortably. Let me don't see a reason.
But the only way we'll find out is obviously we need more members of our group, and we need to have more people doing it on a regular basis. That's how we get our freedom back. And then if anybody questions it, then we have the knowledge behind us. We have a toll-free number. We have a .org website. And of course, we have people that don't mind sharing it. So as long as we do what we're supposed to be doing, I don't see why we can't be this big snowball in a year or two that that stores will have to at least consider us as normal people.
Yeah. Consider us as not necessarily that we are, but consider us that way, right?
Yeah.
But no, but seriously, they should. I mean, I truly think if you're a brick-and-mortar store, what can you offer that you can't get? It's the social experience. And at some point, people are going to get tired of just, you know, staring at their cell phone all day and actually want to have some social interaction. But I think they're, you know, I think that's what happens, though, is you're like, gee, I don't want to go out. I got to get all dressed up to go do something now, you know. So, I mean, I'm not sure that's it or not, but I do know I've seen more and more people discuss how they drive barefoot. So if they're driving barefoot, I can imagine there's definitely more of an incentive to go through a drive-thru than there is to put their shoes on to go in.
Right, and that's why when I do speaking engagements or talk to people that are new at it, step number one is getting rid of closed shoes and wearing completely open stuff and removing them the second you sit down somewhere just to get used to it. That's step one. Step two is driving. And step three would be to go into an easy place like a Papa John's Pizza or a Baskin Robbins or something very low level where you're in and out. You could put fast food in there basically if you wanted to. I would say that would be step four. But anyway, as far as the first steps goes, going in someplace easy for the first couple times, usually that will determine whether or not somebody even likes the idea of our lifestyle, and it's some place where you're not really going to get hassled ever.
Right, Right. Yeah.
So there will be people out there that try it and they don't like it, and that's okay. The important thing is they tried, they know it's not for them, and as long as they know there's no laws and they don't slam us, so to speak, and they're like, whatever, I don't like it, but if you want to, go ahead. That's, I think, all we're asking for.
Yeah, sure. It may not be for everyone. And again, as I've described it before, kind of like exercise, if you're not used to doing it and you try it, a lot of times you're not going to like it.
The only time people won't like it is the fact that they might get yelled at for the first time.
Well, that plus just building, you know, they're getting their body, their brain adjusted to the fact that they're all barefoot. And if they've been so closed off for so long, they may not like it because they feel uncomfortable about it, not just, you know, mentally, but actually physically, because their body just hasn't adjusted yet.
Yeah.
But again, similar to exercise. You haven't exercised for a while and you go out and exercise.
That reminds me, speaking of exercise, Joel put up a couple of new articles on our site today. One was a YouTube video, actually, of eye exercises. And there's a guy named Tyler that posted a video on YouTube. He's not in our group by any stretch of the imagination, but he posts about the importance of going grounding while you're doing eye exercises for health. And if you do these eye exercises, you'll improve your vision. And I've done a different person's stuff before. I don't remember the name of or whoever it was, but I learned some exercises with eye health, and this was another different person that discussed grounding as well being important for health. And with the eye exercises, I was able to get my vision back from -425 to -250. And then I left it alone for a little while, and I started getting interested again recently because my Bell's palsy and things like that I had a few months back. And
right,
I just recently, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, started trying some of these exercises again and incorporating some different ones. And my glasses, again, are blurry. I wear them when I'm driving, but they're not blurry to the point I can't see through them, but I know that the prescription is too strong for me.
Yeah.
So I'm probably at a -200, I'm guessing.
I definitely need to try that because my entire life I always had better than 20/20 vision. I always had very good eyesight.
Yeah.
But in the last couple of years, it's went downhill fast. And there's nothing.
And the reason for that is just like you're saying with the exercises, whoever really thinks about exercising their eyes, you just assume that they're always going to be there until they're not.
Yeah, and you assume using them is exercising them, but guess not enough. But
no, it has to deal with things like doing eye rotations very slowly and trying to reconquer your peripheral vision. And there's all kinds of different odds and ends and little tricks you can do. But the two people that I've learned from both have incorporated going outside in the morning. And doing some of the eye exercises, and of course your shoes can stay in the store or in the closet or wherever they are, and you're just getting your eyes trained.
Yeah, I definitely need to try that. It's something that, again, I've...
Because we've been told from doctors that once you lose your vision, that's it. It always gets worse. It never gets better.
Yeah, you're also told that... plantar fasciitis can't be cured without going under the knife by some doctors.
Yeah,
but,
and then you pick up some arch supports and you wear closed-toed shoes and compression socks permanently.
Yeah, and I had about the worst case of it 20 years ago, and I don't even have a hint of it now. So
I have a friend out here that said that she got rid of it through essential oils.
Well, mine's just from going barefoot, I'm sure.
No, you getting rid of it, you mean, not getting it, but there's various ways to get plantar fasciitis, but it's
right.
Not from going barefoot.
No, that's what I'm saying, but that improved it when I started going barefoot.
Yeah.
Is what got me, I think. That's actually one of the main reasons I started going. It was the research I had done, and it, almost all the research pointed towards the inserts and the exercises and the whole bit. And there was a small minority that talked about going barefoot, but the logic made sense to me. It made perfect sense to look at your foot as a shock absorber when you come down on your forefoot.
Uh-huh.
I mean, made perfect sense.
But you know what's funny, John, is the fact that you and I, to most people, we will be the first person ever in the history of their life that tells them it's okay to not have shoes on.
Oh, I know. That is definitely it's funny to me that society changes so much, but yet that's remained a constant for so long, at least in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that I'm saying I have anything against or towards, but, you know, people can walk around with piercings and covered with tattoos, and it's just become part of the normal lifestyle.
Hey, I'm going to share a profanity real quick just because I saw the shirt. You could walk around with a shirt that says "fuck you" on it, and that's perfectly okay. And you can wear green hair, piercings, ripped jeans, and flip flops. But you could wear a business suit and have no shoes on, and the people look at you like you're a piece of filth.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. In fact, I remember reading a post from somebody that in the group. What was in the society's group that was talking about, you know, she has tattoos and blue hair or whatever it is and everything else, but the where she runs into problems is if she goes barefoot, when she goes barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
Not people who have a problem with the blue hair and the tattoos and the piercings, but when she goes barefoot, she gets all kinds of reactions.
I remember reading about one girl that... was at one of those gay pride parades, and her flip-flop broke, so she was walking barefoot, and people were yelling at her and all that and teasing her. And the sad thing is if you saw what some of those costumes people were wearing that were teasing her, you would be beside yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Including a guy that wore nothing except biker boots and a toilet paper holder over his certain part that I don't have to say.
Yeah, like his middle
with a microphone cover over it. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, no, I get you, yeah. No, I know. It really is a strange world we're in.
Thing is, if, say, Barefoot is Legal had 200,000 members in a year and a half, and people were doing health fairs and doing more speaking engagements on it, and maybe one spark works somehow, that just think the perception would change. It would almost be a new style fad, I guess.
I think it needs to change. I do see, like...
Yeah, but we have to be the change. It's not going to change just because some fashion designer said, it's okay, we're not going to make money on shoes this year.
No, that's not exactly... That's not at all what I meant, but...
Well, some people
mean,
in a certain group thinks that's how it's going to work, but I promise you it's not.
Yeah. It never ceases to amaze me that it's kind of like the definition of insanity, you know, to just keep doing the same thing and expecting that something's going to change.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's... All I meant is that with the information that's slowly creeping out there, I hope it's something that's going to take us in the right direction, but it's going to take more than that, I agree, yes. But, you can't go a week without finding articles on the positive benefits of going barefoot,
mm-hmm.
but yet it does not hit mainstream at all. It just doesn't. Which really amazes me.
No, it doesn't even hit the lunatic fringe, really. It's like you have to want to do it in order to to find anything on it. Otherwise, you're this weirdo in the street.
Yep. Yeah, that's for sure. But
hey, the movement has to start somewhere, and I don't mind being that somebody to start the movement somewhere.
It'll be fun when we can look back and reminisce on how it changed, and hopefully that'll happen sooner than later.
Yeah, and we can reminisce about how I got evicted from a group for bringing in too many new members and being too active and motivational.
Yeah, that's still...
If that's the worst that's ever happened, wow, I hope those people really have their heads on right.
Well, it's unfortunate when we say those people. I think in the group there's a lot of wonderful people.
Oh, I believe so, too. It's just... it starts with the management team and goes down.
Exactly. And if you get a bad apple in there, the Nancy Pelosi's of the world can do a lot of damage. So.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take many of them, but they're loud enough. And in that case, it was a striking resemblance to that, in my feeling. But,
Hey, and someone let me know, because I haven't been in the group once, obviously, since I was banned from it. But the numbers are still a couple hundred short as opposed to when I ran it 6 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, it just stopped. I'll be honest, I went out there and glanced, but I that's about all I've done. You know,
hey, you want to be a member, they haven't banned you, it's okay.
Well, no, I don't mean that as far as good or bad, but I do it more because, yes, it is a group that has a like idea. The approach may be completely different. But again, I think the majority of members are just not being represented. The representation isn't there. So,
right, and they, I'm sure the members feel that, although the management team just wants to say that it was previous bad leadership, which is why everybody talked a lot, and now because of good leadership, they're afraid to talk.
Yeah, I don't know.
George Orwell speaks for you, I guess.
Yeah. I just know that before this happened, I finally started to see some positive change, some new members that were actually excited and posting, and now it seems to be back to the same old, you could look at the posts, and if they didn't have a date on it, you just think it was the same ones from 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, but for some people, it's more important to be the leader of a group and not do anything with it than it is to actually make change. And
yeah.
On the other hand, maybe it was a blessing in disguise because Barefoot is Legal is growing by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And not just that, but we have people asking what they can do to help the group. A team, I will say, as opposed to just thousands of people just being there and not doing much. I pretty much try to work on the team lifestyle as much as I can, and I want people to feel empowered that this is their group, that they can do something about this, they can be the change. And we have very open dialogue. I'm not this big, bad, evil leader that throws the gauntlet down on everybody. I try my best to give everybody the power of doing something to make our lives better, if it means... And by the way, here's something that somebody had that was a really cool idea, and I wish I could remember their name offhand. Because I talk about activism could be as small as printing out 8 flyers for Barefoot is Legal and dropping them... when you go into a grocery store or any store and you see all the free magazines, like Jacksonville has Creative Loafing, if I remember right, Jacksonville Weekly or whatever it is.
Yeah, what do you call that? I don't really follow it, but I know what you mean. It's the
anyway, I talk
magazine,
about just printing
yeah.
up a few flyers and just dropping it right on top of the free magazines, like the Nifty Nickel and all that. And someone said,
yeah.
Well, why aren't you putting them inside the magazine?
Well,
I'm like,
yeah, I
can't believe I didn't even think of that before. It's so stealthy. And when everybody takes one, they're going to take a flyer with them, and who knows where that flyer ends up.
Yeah, I guess my side of that, though, is are you infringing on, you know, is that something that's really ethical to do if you're putting it in someone else's publication? If you were doing it with their blessing, if you went to them and got them to do that, then I would be sure that's what we should do. But to just go into the store and pop them in there, I don't know if I agree with that.
See, I've always done the whole thing, which is putting a few on top of a few magazines. Not all of them, but a few, and just walking on. But
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not for it
thing,
or against it. I just was like, I never thought of that before.
Yeah, to me, on top of it's one thing, but if you're putting it in someone else's publication, then, you know, that's, you know, would be like if you were putting out a publication on conservative rights and...
And I popped a flyer in the middle for marijuana rights or something.
Yeah, it's complete left-wing rights somewhere. Yeah, it just wouldn't, you know... If somebody approached you and wanted to do that, and out of some miracle you did, that would be one thing. But
well,
you know,
regardless, it's the one positive I get from that is I like when people think outside the box and think of different ideas. We can decide later if it's ethically good or not, and then say no, that's not a good idea. But I appreciate the creativity.
Right. I also have to believe with the number of people that we're in the other group and are starting to become into this group, there has to be people that have different contacts and leverage and could get...
Well, the thing is I'm grabbing completely new members. We're not getting the old members. I mean, some have come over, but it's not just people have made a decision. People don't even know that other group exists.
Right. And again, it is sad because that group's been established for so many years, but it hasn't moved. It literally in 20 years has been stagnant, with very short spurts here and there, and so small that you can count them on like one finger. That's not even a hand.
Right, and I just I spurned the biggest growth in their history, and I got banned for it.
Yeah, it's amazing, but you know, we can dwell on that or we can move.
Yeah, that's okay because.
Forward.
I like the fact that we have completely new people who are interested in learning and are seeing a positive influence. And then people are there's posts on a regular basis. It's not just three posts in one day and then the next day there'll be two posts. I mean, there's people having general good conversations and dialogue and making friends. And that's what this is about. This isn't about my side of the grass is greener than yours or my banana is bigger than yours or anything like that. It's the fact that we can come together and try to make positive change instead of trying to prove that somebody's better than somebody because of their beliefs.
Right, exactly. On a different note, I mean, we're actually at the bottom, we're past the bottom of the hour. Did you receive any response back from our guest? Or
no, I didn't, but that's my fault because I normally get people on the day of the show. I remind them, and when I remind people, it's 6 a.m. my time, and then I go on the radio at 6 o'clock at night. So there's 12 hours in between. So they could have just overlooked it.
Yeah.
So we just have to get better at if there's a guest that we just have to make that confirmation a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely have to.
I fall through the cracks sometimes on that myself, but I've been trying to make a conscious effort to get better.
Yeah, myself. Like I said, I definitely need to commit more. It's something where it seems like every other competing priority in the world has been hitting me recently. But I definitely want. I believe in this, and I want to make sure that we're doing something that's positive to move it forward.
Hey, there's going to be a few hundred people listening today, whether it's live or in the archives. So we're making a difference.
Good.
It would mean the world to me if somebody just randomly called in, and it doesn't have to be today. But if we had one of our members call in and say, hey, I never heard of this group until about a week or two ago, and I tried it for the first time, and I went into a store and nothing happened, and it was great.
Yeah.
That would be like the best phone call ever in the history of the world.
Yeah, I'd love to have some more. I've been asking for some calls, but I know a lot of people do listen after the fact. But if they are listening after the fact, we are here every Saturday morning. So, you know, depending on where you are, for me, it's 1:30 Eastern, and of course you're a couple hours early.
Yeah, 10:30 in the morning till noon Pacific.
Right. But, you know,
and by the way, we're still trying to get John a co-host here. So if you're listening out there and you want to be part of the weekly radio show, we would love to interview you and see if this would be something that everybody would be happy with. And yeah, you can find us on SpyBook under Barefoot is Legal under groups. Or if you want to email me personally, that's fine. It's proof@freedomizerradio.com. And, John, you have an email address as well, right, with barefootislegal.org?
No, I actually don't. I need to get one, but I'm at the...
I thought I made one, but I'll double-check. I apologize. If not, then, yeah, we have to make sure that's in order.
We actually have somebody just call in. Let me go ahead and call them in.
Okay.
Hi, welcome to Barefoot is Legal. Who do we have on the line?
Hi, this is Lisa. We spoke earlier.
Lisa.
Hey, I just heard of the group today. Thank you, Proof.
Hey, no problem. That's what we do here. So I think we can start a positive lifestyle change, and we can do this. Just think of all the things hippies could have done in the late 60s if they had Internet access.
I can only imagine.
Right, so what made you interested in the Barefoot group? And don't say because I forced you under the barrel of a pistol.
No, not at all. I've always loved being barefoot. I grew up on the water and was always barefoot. I think I mentioned to you when I got my license at 16, and everybody was like, don't drive barefoot. And I didn't listen, and I drove barefoot all the time, still do. And walk around barefoot all the time. Haven't gone to the stores yet necessarily, but definitely went out in my woods when I had health issues to heal for the grounding and the connection with the earth through the feet. So
yeah,
Lisa
was one of my calls earlier that I had when I took up some calls for the Barefoot is Legal. We have a toll-free number, by the way. And and Lisa found our group today. And
great.
And she thought there was laws against some of the stuff because people put up signs, but when people find, like Lisa, that no such laws exist, they're like, well, then if I don't like shoes and there's no laws against it, why am I not doing it?
Right.
Exactly.
And as you mentioned, everybody told you to wear shoes to drive, and yet there is no laws in any state other than one state requiring it for motorcycle, which I guess I could understand that one. But
and I didn't know that because everyone always says you have to wear shoes to drive. I didn't listen, but yeah, that's what I've always heard. Yeah,
and even
my friends, like when I'm in the woods, they're like, you're going to hurt your feet out there in the woods. Put some shoes on. It's like, no, I'm not.
Tell them to wear a football helmet because they could knock their head on a tree branch.
There you go. I'll try that next time.
Well, I mean, it's true. You know how many concussions people get just by not paying attention to where they're walking?
That's absolutely right. I know. There are many more dangers out there than bare feet, for sure.
I promise you, if you're out in the Philippines in a coconut field and a coconut hits you on the head and kills you, they're not going to ask, why were you not wearing shoes? Or the coconut's not going to say, well, this person had flip-flops on. Let me go bounce off of somebody else's head.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Yes.
And Lisa, you mentioned you grew up by the water. So
When
you were younger, I know that it was at a beach town or river.
My grandparents had a house on a river here in Maryland.
Okay.
You know, a river off the Chesapeake Bay type thing. So, yeah.
Right. So, because I know that in a lot of the beach towns, at least used to be, you know, it was more acceptable at the time to be able to go. We used to go up to Beach Haven when I lived up in that neck of the woods up in New Jersey, a little north of there. And, you know, a lot of people would go barefoot. In fact, tourists were known as shoebies. So it was a rather a barefoot area.
No, that's a great movement.
Well, I think so. I think I'm probably the first person ever to tell Lisa that it's perfectly okay to leave your house and leave your shoes at home.
That is true. I think you are. Absolutely. And to tell me to go do my grocery shopping without shoes on, for sure.
Yeah, well, like I said, if you've never done it, just treat yourself to a pizza. Take out a to-go pizza. And what I would do is don't just order pepperoni, but make some special combination that you like. This way, if they end up evicting you, they're going to have to throw that pizza out, and then the manager is going to ask, well, why are we throwing out a pizza?
Hey, right, because the customer wouldn't put shoes on, huh?
So, yeah, anybody can order a pepperoni, so if you order pepperoni only, they'll just sell it in 10 minutes.
Right.
And but if you put the mushrooms and the artichokes and the garlic on there, then maybe not so much.
Right, exactly.
And typically a pizza place is very easy to go barefoot. The one that I go to, which is actually a sit-down place, and it's fairly large. I couldn't tell you the last time I had shoes on in there. It's been years probably.
Let me ask you, John, do you still go to the Loop?
I've gone to the Loop. It's been a little while.
I used to go there quite often, actually.
Yeah, I just haven't went, not for any different reason, but there's a local pizza place that I like better.
Okay.
The Loop has great hamburgers, of course.
Right.
I can't say I've ever worn a pair of shoes in a Loop. I never had a problem. And, you know, throughout the years many times. It's just been a while.
Right, and let me share a story with Lisa since she's new with us. And since we have a new person on the phone, I'm not that stressed about the commercial break, so don't worry about it. But I was in a bank once, and this was First Union, if I remember right. Yeah, they went under a merger, so I was trying to think of if they merged before then or not. So anyway, I had roughly about $48,000 in the bank at that time. I was a traveling stand-up comic for a living back then. I made okay money and stuff, and I was able to save. So anyway, went in the bank to put my paycheck in there because I had a day job when I wasn't doing my stand-up. And the manager told me that I needed to leave because there could be glass on the ground at the bank. And so legitimately I'm thinking, being the comic in me, so what glass are you giving us with this money? And they're like, well, we don't need you to be funny. We just need you to put shoes on. And I'm like, well, if I have to put shoes on, I want to close my bank account. And they're like, well, that's fine. You can close your bank account. Just make sure you put shoes on. So I went home, got flip-flops on, and went in there to close the bank, and then they brought the manager out, not just the supervisor, but the branch manager, because having $48,500-something dollars in the bank and having that removed, that's a big deal for them.
Right.
So they were like, well, we weren't just trying to not give you your money. We just want you to put shoes on. Then we'll put your paycheck in the bank. Trying to talk to me like I'm in second grade or something.
Ooh.
Right.
So I said, look, if I have to wear shoes because there's glass on the ground, even though you don't sell anything with glass, then I need to close my bank account. And I told them I wanted cash, but they didn't have it, so they gave me a cashier's check, which I used to open up another bank account with. But, yeah, they had $48,500-some-odd walk out of the bank.
Right.
Because they for whatever reason, decided to be prejudiced.
Wow. That's a great story.
And I went, right across the catty corner to a different bank, and they happily took my cashier's check and didn't ask me anything about my feet.
Did you tell them?
I'm like, hey, I just closed my bank account of $48,500, and I would like to put this in this bank. Will you take it? Sure, no problem. Let's open up an account.
Right.
Did you tell them why by chance? I was just curious
about
their response. I would have, I think. So if they didn't, if they were going to give me a hassle,
I wasn't.
Know right
I wasn't as active then, and that's when the group was just getting started online. So I was feeling a bit ballsy that day just by that, but I wasn't at the point where I am now.
So how long have you guys been doing this? What made you decide to start doing it?
Well, for me, myself, it was health reasons. I worked as a room service waiter back in the 1991, and
mm-hmm.
I was carrying a big pail of hot water, and I was wearing these Doc Marten heavy boots, and the water got into my boot, and I got a third-degree burn and a staph infection, so I was in the hospital for 12 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I eventually came across a doctor that told me about the health benefits of not wearing shoes, and of course not having the internet back then. I kind of thought it was funny and decided not to do anything. But
mm-hmm.
I moved to Florida, and I noticed people doing it, so I noticed I still had a lot of pain. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
well, maybe I should try it if it's more common. And so I tried it, and I noticed I didn't have as much pain, and it went from there. Then I found out there was an online group, and I decided to be part of it.
Wow.
And the funny thing is I live in Florida, and I don't see anyone doing it now, and that's the amazing part. But mine started for health reasons as well. It was plantar fasciitis, and the internet was fairly new about 20 years ago. And I started doing the research. And most of the research pointed towards special exercises and orthotics and even getting surgery. And
mm-hmm.
there was a minority of information out there that suggested going barefoot. But the logic made sense, the logic that, you know, our foot are shock absorbers. And when you come down on the forefront, you're using it as a shock absorber. But when you walk in a shoe, you naturally come down on your heel, which is straight shock going up your body. To the tune of 1,000,000 pounds of pressure today when you take your weight times your number of steps. And it just made sense to me. And I tried it, and I had really bad plantar fasciitis. And after about a month, month and a half of trying it as much as I at that time felt I could, one day I noticed I don't have pain anymore. It just went away. And haven't had it since. But I'll be honest, I never liked wearing shoes before, so it was an easy decision.
Yeah, same here.
But then from there, the information that I started to find more and more online, you know, if you type in, you know, benefits of going barefoot, you'll get, you know, a zillion articles out there on how good it is for you in how many different ways. And so that's
and we're adding them in slowly but surely on the barefootislegal.org website.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's there's so many different benefits. You know, the planet, the biomechanics is one, the connection with the ground, the fact that your brain needs to have that connection with the why do you have so many sensory organs in your feet? You have more receptors in your feet than anywhere else in your body. I don't think they were designed to be closed up, you know, and locked out of the world if they didn't have a purpose.
And one of my things also is that how I look at podiatrists selling the closed shoes with the Velcro and the compression socks and all that stuff, wearing 24 hours a day. That's with the arch supports. I look at that the same way as dentists pushing fluoride and doctors pushing vaccines, all for repeat business.
There you go.
Yes. And it's going to create repeat business, because if you put a cast on any other part of your body, your body's going to start to rely on that cast. When you remove it, you know, there's rehabilitation time. You've weakened that part of your body. It may have had to have been in one for some reason, you know, isolated, but your feet don't need to be isolated and closed off like that, but you're definitely making them rely on all that support, which is actually very bad for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I ask people, would you wear anything like a shoe on your hand all day, every day? It's a tool. Wear it when you need to. You know, if you're doing something that's
dangerous.
Yeah,
and gloves would be equal to, like, Vibrams, I guess. So everybody would have to wear mittens so they have no finger access.
All the
time.
Wow. Yeah. Could you imagine, and even worse than Vibrams, at least, you know, there might be some movement, but the majority of shoes would be more like putting casts on your hands. All, you know, even worse. It's bad enough that they're just closed off, you know, from being able to breathe.
Yeah, I challenge anybody out there to put on some boxing gloves and try typing some song lyrics onto their Word document.
That's
not going to work, and that's the same concept.
Yeah, but again, it's that concept of you're literally putting your feet in casts, and that's what you would be doing with your hands if you put in anything equivalent to a shoe on your hands, you know, more than the very flexible Vibrams, which even those would cause problems, but the majority of your shoes are more like a solid cast.
So Lisa, let me ask you, how are the temperatures out there right now?
Right now, I'm looking at my neighbor's deck, and it's about 58, maybe?
Okay.
Just shy of 60.
All right.
Yeah, we're getting ready to hit a cold front.
It's going
to
get cold tonight.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
And I'll go outside in my bare feet.
Thanksgiving here, it might be in the mid-40s for a high temperature, and I'm in Las Vegas.
Wow.
Lisa,
but it's going to be close to 70 today and tomorrow, and then it hits the 60s, and then, bam, Thanksgiving, we get hit hard.
And Lisa, let me mention something about the cold that I've found from going barefoot all these years. I'm in Florida, so I'm in North Florida, but we do get cold, you know.
Hey, I've seen it snow there a couple times when I lived there.
Yeah,
I was just in Flagler Beach in, near Daytona in Port Orange, so I like that area of Florida.
Yeah, that's just about an hour south of me. But about an hour and a half. But either way,
so you're way up there north then.
Yeah, I'm in North Florida. I'm right up close to the we compare it as South Georgia sometimes, but it's actually North Florida. But the thing that happened is I've been going barefoot pretty much for 20 years. But during the winter time, I would put shoes on. And a few years back, I stopped that. And a revelation happened. We were actually down in St. Augustine Beach. I was with my wife. We're more in the historic district if you've been down there.
It
was one of those days where it was warm during the day, but it cooled off rapidly in the evening. And we knew that, so we had life jackets with us. And we're walking around, and all of a sudden I noticed my wife was shivering. She was freezing. And I would normally be the first one to get cold. And then I started looking at everybody around me, and they were all freezing. And I was very comfortable. And, you know, I'm the only one out there barefoot. But at the time, what I thought it was, and maybe it had a little to do with it, was the ground, of course, is not going to cool as quickly as the air. You know, it's going to retain that radiant heat. So I was like walking on a heated floor to a certain extent. But more than that, I've found that from increased circulation and also your feet act as thermostats for your body as well. So you know, if you have them covered in shoes, the temperature can get up to like 105 degrees. And if it's 40 degrees out, your body's just confused, doesn't know what to think. Of course, if it's really cold, you got to wear them just like you would any other tool, as we mentioned before. But
right.
if it's not truly freezing, what I found is I don't get cold anymore. The short of the story here is I literally very rarely feel cold, even though I felt cold all the time.
Yeah, and the other end of that is people ask you, aren't you cold? Which is the opposite.
Right.
Yeah. And because I truly believe a lot of it has to do with the little bit of research I've done, your body has a cooling system just like an air conditioner. You know, it opens up your pores and you start to sweat. So what happens is when your feet are at 105 degrees, I think your pores open up, and that stinging feeling that you get when it's cold is the fact that your pores are open more. You may not feel sweat coming out because it's still cool enough to dry it off, but once that doesn't happen, I don't get that stinging feeling anymore. I just don't feel cold.
Yeah, I'm cold a lot. That's interesting.
So
when are you going to make your first pilgrimage, Lisa, out to getting yourself a pizza or a sandwich or something?
I'll probably go to the health food store. I can't do cheese or wheat, so pizzas are pretty much out for me.
I was just giving an example. I think you got that.
Oh, I know, absolutely. But, yeah, I'm thinking my health food store, they might not even look at me too strange. They may be open to it. But, yeah, I think I'll definitely give that a go.
Okay. Well, that sounds awesome.
Keep us posted. Yeah.
Right, whether I get any comments or anything.
Yeah, and don't get discouraged if you do. It's something that takes a little time of getting used to. But once you do, the benefits really outweigh the challenges tremendously. We wouldn't spend our time doing this if we hadn't really experienced these benefits. So we'd love to hear from you and how it goes.
Right. So you guys don't wear shoes unless the temperature requires it. Is that it?
Well, you could say that. I keep a day job and I wear sandals in the building until the second before I sit down. They're off, like, under my desk before I even sit down.
Right. Okay. Got it. Yeah, I used to do that. I was a corporate legal secretary, and the heels would definitely come off at work, and I'd be walking around without shoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you got the gist of our group here. So we definitely welcome you to our family, and hopefully you'll bring in some friends that are like-minded and want to learn more also.
I will definitely spread the word. Enjoy
All
the
right.
talk immensely.
Speaking about
we
spreading words,
it.
I know John has to spread us out here to assimilate because Minister Emmanuel will be joining us here momentarily.
Right. We're hitting the top of our hour, and it's been a great show, and Lisa, we sure appreciate you coming on. And
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you again, and hopefully next week you could come back and let us know how it went.
Are we doing a live show next week?
Because of the holiday, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's your call. You're the host.
Yeah, let me check into that because my wife might have some things planned I have to look at. But other than that, I was planning on it. But,
all right, if
I'll
you
check.
Can do us a favor or over the next couple of days, can you post in the forum?
Okay. All right.
Because we'll if you're that. Here, I'm here. If not, then obviously I won't be here.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check because now that you mentioned it, I almost didn't think of that, so I might not be able to, so I'm going to check. In fact, the more I think about it, I think there is something going on next week, so we might have to just put a recording up. But still, Lisa, you could always, I'm sure Dave has gotten you over to the Barefoot is Legal group, and you could post there. And we've got to go. We've got to run, and thank everybody, and appreciate you coming on, Lisa, and have a great week, and definitely try it.
I am. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Right. See you all shortly.